There is coming a utopia, a paradise on earth. It's called the millennium, where we'll have amazing capabilities and powers.
The Lord is preparing us now for eternity and for what we will be doing as we reign with Christ our King.
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. We're excited about what the Lord has created for those of us who love Him. In the millennial kingdom, Jesus will rule over the renewed earth from Jerusalem, the capital of earth. And we will rule with Him in our glorified bodies, which will have amazing powers unlike these earthly bodies that we have now. Just think of this. We'll have eternal bodies that will never get sick or die. But we'll have a glorified body like the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrected body.
Will we have bodies like we have now with eyes and ears, flesh, bones, arms, legs, hair? And will we eat and drink and know each other, or will we be disembodied spirits?
Randy Alcorn is an expert on heaven, with 60 books written and translated in 70 languages, selling over 12 million copies. What will our resurrected bodies be like?
Our resurrected bodies, we're told, will be like Christ. We'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. His resurrection body is the prototype that shows what our resurrection bodies will be like. So, what was His resurrection body like? Well, we know. He ate and drank with the disciples. He walked around with them. He said, "Here, touch me. Here's my body." He says to them, "A spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have." So, a resurrection body has flesh and bones. It can be touched, it can be felt, it can feel, it has sensations. He sees, they see Him, it's visible, He eats food. Did He taste the food when He ate? I'm sure He did. We've never known taste buds that are as they were first created. In the resurrection body, not only will we have available to us the greatest food we've ever eaten, but we'll have the capacity to find joy in that food that greater than anything we've ever experienced. In fact, your favorite food is very likely one you've never tasted yet. So we'll taste it, we'll find new flavors, things that we didn't used to like, maybe we'll love, things that we liked. We'll think, wow, I can't believe this will be so good. Well, that's the resurrected body. Now notice, when Jesus ate food with His disciples, it wasn't that He was a spirit drifting around. See, some people think resurrection, they think we're like a disembodied spirit. No, that's exactly what resurrection isn't. Resurrection means we will have bodies. That's what the word means. That's the whole point of the word. It's a contradiction in terms to say that there would be a bodiless resurrection. It would be like saying I'm going to whitewash this wall red. No, if you're going to whitewash it, it won't be red. It'll be white. Resurrection, it means a body. Okay, so that doctrine of the resurrection that is repeatedly taught in Scripture is a doctrine that means we will live forever as physical beings. We will have hands and eyes, ears and mouth and nose, as Jesus did in His resurrected body. When He appeared, He said, "Touch me, handle me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as I have."
Randy Alcorn gives us great hope using scriptures to show us this life is not the end.
That is great news. So you don't need to worry over your life, but look forward to your brand new body that'll never grow old. You'll be youthful forever.
Amir Safadi is author of Revealing Revelation, How God's Plan for the Future Can Change Your Life Now.
In the millennial kingdom, if you read Isaiah, the animal kingdom will be restored to its original perfection. Poisonous animals will cease to be poisonous. Meat-eating animals will become herbivorous. Lions will be vegetarian. All members of the animal kingdom will live together in perfect peace with each other and with mankind. Why is it so important for us today to study the events of such a far future, such as the millennial kingdom? It's important because your decision today will affect your place and your role in the future. If you choose Him now, you reign with Him in the future. If you deny Him now, He will deny you before the Father. It's very simple. That's why it's in the Bible. Why do you think all the Old Testament prophets had that revelation if it's not that important? There are no promotions in the millennial kingdom. Either you reign or you're being reigned by someone. You're not promoted. If you want to be promoted to governor or to be a priest, now your decision will make you priest and will make you judge and will make you a king and ruler in the future. But not then. Follow Jesus today and you will reign with him tomorrow. Reject Jesus today and you may not even see tomorrow.
Our guest has been Amir Sarfati, author of Revealing Revelation. Tony Evans is a senior pastor of the megachurch called Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas.
There is coming a time when there will be utopia, and we call it the millennium. Let's review. Jesus raptures the church. 7 years of tribulation. Jesus comes back to set up his millennial kingdom, paradise. You have to understand why this 1,000-year period of time must occur. When God created Adam and Eve, he said, let them rule as managers of God's creation. That rule got interrupted by Satan and sin when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, leading to the deterioration of earth. Lifespans began to decline. Marital conflict entered in. Murder. Cain kills Abel. The world becomes wicked. The whole world in Genesis 6 has to be destroyed by a flood. All of this is setting the stage at the return of Christ, when the Bible says Christians will come back with him for this 1,000-year rule of Christ known as the millennium. The Bible even calls it a return to Eden, Ezekiel 36, verse 35, a return to Eden. We get back to what God originally designed. Jesus will be ruling from Jerusalem. The capital of the whole earth will be Jerusalem. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, will rule with a rod of iron. In other words, there will be no rebellion. You and I will be the people who he utilizes to make sure his rule is exactly as he wants it to be. And nobody will be able to override you because you will have a glorified body. So you don't have to worry about rebellion against you because nobody can overcome you.
Just think of this. We will come back with Jesus Christ, who will rule with a rod of iron, and we will be invincible in our glorified bodies. Nobody can hurt us or kill us or harm us in any way. We will rule over those who still have earthly bodies. But who are they? Who will we rule over?
Now, who exactly will you be overseeing in the millennium? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46, at the end of the tribulation, God is going to separate the sheep from the goats, that is, the unrighteous goats from the righteous sheep. Unrighteous goats coming out of the tribulation will be sent to eternal judgment, and the righteous sheep coming out of the tribulation, they're going to go into the millennium in their natural human bodies. So there's going to be a whole earth full of folk in natural bodies while you and I will be overseeing them in glorified bodies. So in our glorified bodies, based on the positions that we have earned during our stay here in our natural bodies, will affect your assignment then in your glorified bodies over those who are in the millennium in their natural bodies. And this will last for 1,000 years before we ever get to eternity. And Satan will be bound for 1,000 years so that he no longer is able to deceive the nations. What will this kingdom look like? It will be unlike anything you've ever saw, because even animals will not be able to display their nature of sin. Not even animals, not snakes, not lions, not bears. Why? Because it says the knowledge of God is going to rule all the creation. Notice what you saw in the passage. In the natural, life is going on. People are still getting married. People are still having babies. We're not in eternity yet. We're in the millennial kingdom on earth, where human beings are still operating in their natural bodies. Look at one other passage, Isaiah 65. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, because Jerusalem will be the center of the whole earth. And there will be no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping or the sound of crying. No longer will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. In other words, if you die at 100, you died young because you weren't doing right. So what he says is, in the millennium, because it's lasting 1,000 years, if you die at 100, so we're not in heaven yet because people still dying. So if you die at 100, you must have done something wrong to die so early. How How can folk live so long in their natural bodies? Because there's no sin. There is no allowed sin, no overt sin. In chapter 65, he says, they will build houses and inhabit them. They will also plant vineyards and eat from their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. Nobody's going to take your house from you. They will not plant and another eat. They will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, because they're bearing children in natural bodies. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will graze together. The lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Utopia, paradise. It says, folks who go to work won't hate their jobs. They will not labor in vain. In other words, you're going to be happy to go to work. That'll make you want to go to the millennium right now. You're just looking forward to tomorrow morning. You can't wait if you're living during this time. And we're in glorified bodies, so everything about us is a party. Because God is going to fulfill the destiny of man. Psalm 8 talks about God's going to rule through man. History cannot be completed until within history there is the rule of God through man. Jesus Christ, his glorified saints over mankind. That is the millennial kingdom. Ah, but Revelation 20 verse 7, when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations. So history's not finished yet. After 1,000 years, Satan, who's been chained and not allowed to deceive the nations, will be released. Now, why? If there has been no evil allowed to express itself. Because while there will be no evil in the millennium allowed to express itself, there will be evil in the hearts. So there will be rebellious hearts that will not be free to express themselves. Because if you express rebellion at 100 years old, you died as accursed. God's not going to allow overt rebellion in the millennium. But there will be hearts of rebellion. So Satan is going to be released to reveal those who have rejected God, even in utopia. And that shouldn't surprise us, because many of us have raised our kids in a very godly environment to watch them go left. God's going to give mankind a perfect environment, which shows that you don't need Satan to show how sinful you are. Because Satan's going to be bound, and there's still going to be sinful hearts. Satan is going to be allowed to reveal those who rejected God one final time before the white throne judgment. And the white throne judgment is to determine how much hell you get. The whole point of God telling us prophecy is for us to live now in light of then. To live now in light of the eternal future that we have. To make your decisions now in light of then. For the Bible says that everyone will stand before the Lord and you must give an account. You won't have a choice. And the Bible says the pain you will feel, he describes it as weeping and gnashing of teeth. That means profound regret. The disciples said, teach us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Then he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But he told them to pray that now. God wants to give you some level of kingdom experience before he brings in his kingdom worldwide. Thy kingdom come. But how do I get that kingdom down here so I can taste it? He tells you, thy will be done. You must live for the will of God in order to taste the kingdom of God. If you're not living for the will of God, God's not going to let you taste something that you have no interest in.
You must live for the will of God to get a taste of the kingdom of God. To get a taste of the kingdom of God, you have to live with the will of God.
But there's some here who've had a taste. We got a few here. You didn't taste it. That's why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He ain't gonna give you all of it right now. But he'll put a little something, something on it and let you go. Where they cooking this? Where they baking this? It's all up in the kingdom. But he'll give you a taste now if you are committed to his will. The Bible says all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not going to be all good all the time if you're a serious Christian.
Tony Evans, the senior pastor and author of many books, including Divine Deception, Holding On to Faith When Life Breaks Your Heart.
Pastor Chuck Smith, who now resides in heaven, was our dear pastor who taught us, married us, and led us to a full life in Jesus.
After the 1,000-year reign of Christ is over, when man has had the opportunity of living in the perfect earth, in the perfect environment, with Jesus reigning, and we will be living and reigning with him for that 1,000 years. Many of the people that will be born during this 1,000-year period, and many who were allowed to come into this age without being born again, but just having survived the Great Tribulation, will be allowed to enter into the Kingdom Age. The earth again will be populated. You can imagine how heavy the population, living on the earth in a perfect environment where you could live the full 1,000 years out. The longevity of the pre-flood days will be restored. So the population of the earth during this 1,000 years could conceivably increase to several billion again. The earth being totally habitable, sort of like Hawaii, I mean, perfect environment. The water canopy probably restored in the atmosphere above the earth. Equalizing of the temperatures with the polar caps melted, without the extreme cold of the polar regions, no more violent storms, not be violent movements of air, because you wouldn't have the extreme hot and extreme cold working against each other. So gentle movement of air, living in a perfect earth, in a perfect environment for the 1,000 years that Jesus is reigning. 1,000 years without war. 1,000 years without crime. But we'll live in a perfect world, a perfect environment for the 1,000 years with Jesus Christ. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. They'll study war no more. There'll be no one hungry, no one in need. In fact, you won't even have to buy food. It says, he that hath no money, let him come and have bread and wine and so forth without cost. It'll be a glorious age, living in peace and unafraid, until Satan is loosed again at the end of the 1,000 years. He shall go out to deceive the nations, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Here is man having lived upon the earth, being forced to be good for 1,000 years. You can't be bad if you want to. We will be living and reigning with Christ, and we will be in our glorified bodies and thus probably able to do some space travel pretty rapidly. Be in China as quick as we can think it, or any place else. It's going to be rather fun. Surfing and all will take on a totally new meaning. And if a person has in his mind to do evil, we will no doubt be able to read their minds. And as they're starting to pick the guy's pocket, we'll tap him on the shoulder and say, hey. So people will be forced to live a righteous life. As the result, the earth will really be a beautiful place. Have you ever thought how beautiful this earth is in its natural state, where it hasn't been touched by man's pollution? God did a fairly neat job in creating a beautiful world. It's a beautiful place. But it's been touched by the hands of man who have polluted and destroyed God's creation. But we'll see it restored. And man will live in this utopia for 1,000 years. And yet, within the heart of many of them, there is still a rebellion against God. However, that opportunity to express the rebellion will not be given to them until Satan is loosed. And he goes throughout the earth, deceiving men, until he gathers a tremendous army of men together to march against Jerusalem to try to destroy Jesus Christ. But because Satan is a created being and God is the infinite creator, God has allowed him to exist. And God is using his existence for his purposes. Satan cannot do any more than what God allows him to do. At the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, he'll be freed again because God will set him free again. Those people that have been born during this period of the thousand-year reign of Christ, and those who came into it without being born again, they will never have had to have made a stand against Satan and a stand for Jesus Christ. They will be forced to live righteously. They will not be able to exercise a choice otherwise. When Satan is released and allowed to go out to deceive the nations, then they will be facing their test. Whether their worship and service to Jesus Christ was something they did because they had to do it, or something they did because God had worked in their hearts and worshiped Him from their heart. I have a friend in the Newport Beach area who probably is one of the wealthiest men in Newport Beach. He calls me up. It's usually because he's got problems. His problem is he's looking for love, someone to truly love him. He's been married several times, but each time he's been ripped pretty good in the divorce proceedings. He doesn't know if the gal is very sweet and loving to him because she's wanting to get to his pocketbook and to his wealth, or whether she genuinely loves him. He says it's horrible not knowing if people truly love you or not. And he correctly suspicions that a lot of people just hang around him because of the bucks that he has. And it is true that there's a lot of gals that throw themselves at him. Not because he's good looking, because he isn't really that good looking. And not because he has a pleasant personality, because he really doesn't have a pleasant personality. But he's got bucks. He's got a huge yacht. And he's got another huge yacht in Hawaii and a beautiful home over in Hawaii. And he's got all of the nice things that people like. But he doesn't have love. And the poor guy doesn't know when someone is coming on because of his bucks or because of true love. And he was really desperate. He was crying because he wanted someone that really loved him. He said, I wish that I could go someplace where nobody knew me, where nobody knew how much money I have. And meet some gal there and just thinks, you know, I'm just plain ordinary guy, you know, so that I would know that their love for me was genuine. Whether or not our love for Jesus is genuine. But once Satan is released, the thing to me, the amazing thing to me, is that people who have lived under these ideal conditions of the reign of Jesus Christ, not a few, but a tremendous multitude, so many that they are not really able to count them, will actually be deceived by Satan and will seek to rebel against the reign of Christ at the end of this thousand-year period. I can't understand the mind of a man who would rebel against the Lord after having seen the glory and the beauty of His reign and the peace that was upon the earth. Of course, there would be a lot of them that didn't know what a cruddy world the world was. There would be a lot of them that were born in this period, and that's the only kind of world they'll know. And they won't know just how miserable and cruddy the world was when there was all of the crime and the violence and greed and the dog-eat-dog kind of a situation. And so they'll be susceptible to Satan's deceit. He'll promise them a better world, a utopia, which he does now. He promises the people, hey, you can have a better life. But I can't understand people today doing the things that they're doing. For the life of me, I cannot, in my wildest imagination, conceive how an adult man could sexually abuse a baby. It just shocks me. I cannot understand how Satan could recruit such a vast army at that time. It baffles my mind. But yet he does. This will be the real testing. Not for you. We've already had our testing now, and we've passed.
That's right. We've already had our test, and we've passed. Pastor Chuck Smith was the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement that extended to thousands of churches worldwide, some of which are among the largest churches in America. Pastor Chuck Smith gives one of the best examples we've ever heard on why God sent Jesus to earth as a regular-looking guy, because if God, who owns everything and can give anybody anything he wants, if he came to earth in his glorious body, he wouldn't know if people loved him because of what he can give you, or if you love him for who he really is. If we love Jesus Christ for who he is, his wonderful, loving personality, we will prove our love for him and our faith in Him is genuine by following Him and learning about Him and serving Him. So get to know Jesus Christ now and be with Him forever. The choice is yours.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1825, The Millennium, Part 2. That's number 1825, The Millennium, Part 2. The CD also includes last week's program, Part 1. And you can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Revelation 11, verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.